1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 27. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jew I became a Jew, as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way as that you may be obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified.
It's good to be back this evening and to be able to open up the scriptures together tonight. Of course, we are here at the ninth chapter, the very end of the chapter, the second part of it. And chapter 8 as well, chapters 8 and 9, both of them have really touched on the idea of being willing as a Christian, being willing to give up things, sacrifice even your freedoms, things that are lawful to do, things that you have the right to do, but sacrificing those things for the welfare of others, so that others are either not hindered in their Christian walk, that they don't stumble, or that they might somehow benefit, or you might be able to be more effective in reaching them. And this is certainly the case with the remainder of chapter 9, as we'll see tonight. This section that Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit touches on how he, as a servant of the Lord, used his freedom, or rather, actually, did not. He used the opportunities that he had to come into contact with different people and adjusted his own ways to relate to them in such a way that he might be more effective in reaching the gospel, teaching the gospel to them. And then in the second part of what we're going to look at tonight, he also then talks about the Christian life as a race that we're running and how we should go about doing that. And so tonight, in verses 19 through 23, we'll be talking about the idea of serving to save. That's what Paul's aim was. And then in verses 24 through 27, we'll talk about running to obtain. So these two sections, they bring out some things really that will benefit us in our daily walk, because Paul here is doing something that we're supposed to do. You know, Jesus said, go into all the world, and that commission remains true for us today. We know that all of us are to be teaching people in whatever capacity we're able to, but spreading the gospel to those that are lost is what we're here for, to bring others to the Lord and to help them to see and understand what they need to do to be saved. But how do we reach people? What should we be willing to do in order to save a soul? Is there anything that we should not be willing to give up or to change or to adapt to so that someone can be saved? Paul shows us the answer is no. We should be willing to do whatever it takes to save others, including giving up our freedoms or changing our ways, whatever it may be. And he'll talk about that in this section on serving to save. In verse 19 tells us about Paul's aim. And of course, his aim is the last statement that he makes in that verse, that I might win the more. He's talking about saving souls. His aim is to save souls. How do you do that, Paul? He says, for though I am free from all men, that is, Paul was not in bondage to anybody. He wasn't, like a lot of the people during this time, including some of the Christians, a slave or a household servant. He wasn't under anybody on this earth. He was a free man. He was a Roman citizen. He had a lot of rights, and he was able to use those at times to his benefit. But though he was a free person, the Apostle Paul said, I have made myself a servant to all. So Paul has the mindset, I am willing to become a servant to everybody. Doesn't matter who they are, wherever I go, I'm making myself a servant to these people in this city or this city. Whatever background they come from, I'm willing to serve them. And the reason he does this is because his aim is to save souls. So the Apostle Paul's mindset is one that we have to imitate. He's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to show us this is the way righteous servants of God think. We want to save souls, and we're willing to be servants to all people around us and to do what we can to reach them. And then he begins to describe the various ways in which he accomplishes that. That is, the ways that he serves others. How does he become a servant to people? What would be involved in Paul's statement there? Well, he begins with the Jews, specifically Jews who are under the law of Moses. How does he try to reach them? Well, of course, Paul himself is a Jew. So even though he says, verse 20, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. So the Jews, of course, were the people who lived under the law. And we're talking about the law of Moses. And the Apostle Paul, though he was a Jew, he understood that the law, that is the law of Moses, was no longer in effect. It had been fulfilled, it had been put aside, and now all men, Jew and Gentile, are expected to and can only find salvation under the law of Christ. There's no Jewish way to be saved. The law of Moses could not save. And that's the very point that he's been making to those, that he made to those at other points, like in the book of Galatians, those who were drifting back because of the Judaistic teachers, and of course the book of Hebrews touches on the same thing. But the Apostle Paul, in order to be more effective in reaching the Jewish people, he knew customs. He knew certain practices that they had. That he could, even as a Christian, participate in or exercise as an option that wouldn't involve any compromise. It wouldn't be sinful. He's not saying, I'm going to go back and offer sacrifices under the law of Moses, because you can't do that. Christ is the once and for all sacrifice. But there were some things that Paul did. In fact, we have an example of that in Acts chapter 16. And this was the occasion when the Apostle Paul had taken hold of Timothy to use him as one who would travel with Paul, help spread the gospel, and learn the work of evangelism. So what does he do? He takes Timothy, and Timothy is circumcised. Why does Paul do that? Because he has gone to Jerusalem. He's trying to reach certain Jews. And the Jews knew that Timothy was not a Jew. And so there were certain limitations or certain barriers that might pose. So Paul, even though he didn't have to, have Timothy to undergo circumcision. And thus, in this way, would be an example of him being as a Jew, that he might win the Jews. The idea that he was willing to do that should be understood properly, because even though, as Paul elsewhere writes, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, so it's not a matter of right and wrong whether a male is circumcised. In this case, there was no doctrinal pressure being applied or no false doctrine to counter, so Timothy is circumcised. On the other hand, on a later occasion, there was also the efforts by certain Jews to say that Titus needed to be, and Paul refused to compromise that because it was a doctrinal issue, and he wouldn't go along with it because there was truth at stake. So whenever Paul here says, in this context that we're looking at, that he did something that he might win these certain people, it was always something that was consistent with the law of God and in no way was sinful. He could only go so far. But he would go that far without sin so that he might be able to get as close to whatever people he's trying to reach so that they might be won by the gospel. Acts chapter 21, verse 20 and following tell us the account where the Apostle Paul went through a purification rite, had his head shaven and so forth. And that was in connection again with certain Jewish practices that he went along with in that case. So, to the Jews he says, I became as a Jew, and to those who are under law, as under law. So he didn't actually become one of them again, but certain practices that he could, he involved himself in so that he might be able to better reach the Jews. That he might, in both cases, as he says there in verse 20, that he might win those who he's trying to reach, the Jews, and he says then, those under the law. And so the Apostle Paul, again, is reaching out in every way that he possibly can. He's willing to sacrifice, he's willing to make changes, adjustments, do certain things that he wouldn't have to do, but doing them for the good of others. Then you have verse 21. And this speaks not to the Jews under the law, but verse 21 talks about the Gentiles who are without law. So the Gentiles are the subject of discussion here. And as we know, the Gentiles are totally different from the Jews in the way that they live and their practices and so forth. Now the Apostle Paul couldn't involve himself in any Gentile practice that would have been sinful, whether it was offering sacrifice to idols or things like that. He couldn't do it. But there were things that he could do when he went to the Gentile people and their different cultures and so forth that would make him be able to connect more with the people and thus form relationships that could lead to opportunities to teach and convert them to the Lord. He says, to those who are without law, as without law. And then he clarifies. He says, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. In other words, he comes to the Gentiles who are without law, and he adapts to their situations, these who are without law, but not in any way that is contradictory to the truth, the reality of his situation, which is that he is under the law of Christ. So he does everything consistent with the law of Christ, but adapts to Gentiles that he might be able to reach them. So cultural practices that were not sinful, the Apostle Paul could engage in them, could participate with the people, and thus be one with them in that way, that in no way was sinful. When you do mission work, when missionaries do mission work today, they will go into other cultures. And they will adapt to those cultures. They will eat what the people eat. Sometimes they will dress in the garb that the people wear. They will involve themselves in various activities, maybe celebrate with them certain holidays, as long as those don't have any kind of connection that would be a compromise to the truth. Various things that they can do in order to be one with these people and help them. There are certain cultural practices that may be offensive that, you know, we have, that when we go to a different culture, we would cease from doing those things, or things that we might have to change in how we do. Have you ever seen sometimes where female news reporters will go to other countries, a lot of times Middle East, and they will wear the headgear? Not because they do, but they will do that so that they won't be offensive to those cultures and what they believe. As long as there is no religious compromise being made, then these are things that we can do, and as Paul shows us, we should do, so that we will be able to do everything within our power to reach people with the gospel. There's nothing we shouldn't be willing to do, sacrifice, change, or learn to adapt to, that souls can be saved. And it's not always easy. You know, people move to a foreign country and often they go through culture shock. That's a very real thing and it can be hard. But it's all for the sake of the gospel and the saving of souls. So here's what Paul is talking about. He then, in verse 22, the first part of it, talks about weak souls. So verse 20 is Jews under the law, 21, Gentiles without law, 22, weak souls. And here he says, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. So these weak, these are people who may have certain views or understandings of things that are not full as far as the knowledge of the truth is concerned. He's already talked in some ways about such things. An example would be the eating of meats. There were some that would not eat certain meats. And Paul, though he knew and understood, as other Christians did, that the eating of such meats offered to idols was not inherently sinful, there were times when he refrained from doing that so that he would not be a stumbling block to others, so he would adapt to and he would sacrifice so that he could win others regardless of their situation. Jew, Gentile, the weak, all are included here. The Apostle Paul's aim is then repeated in the second part of verse 22. He said in verse 19, he has made himself a servant to all that he might win the more. And then in verse 22, second part, he says, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So he says, the reason why I have been willing to do these things, becoming all things to all men within scriptural bounds, is so that I'm exercising every possible avenue that I can personally. And adapting in whatever thing I can do, I'm willing to do anything, short of sin, obviously, to save souls. And he says specifically that he might by all means available to him, by every means possible that I can do, that I might be able to save some. Because the reality is, he's going to speak to a lot of people, he's going to sacrifice, he's going to do all kinds of things, and not everybody, even in the best of situations, will respond to the gospel, will obey, and become a child of God and be saved. It's not going to happen. But in some cases, it will. Some will be saved. And Paul says, it's all worth it. Whatever I can do, I will do, so that souls can be saved. And then he explains there at verse 23, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. The Apostle Paul, he was one who would make sacrifices, and he did all for the sake of God's word, that it would be able to be as effective as it could, that he could relate to the people and they would be glad to hear him. And so when people see, and this is true, when you go into a different culture and they see that you're willing to become like them, they see that you're willing to adapt and enjoy the things that they enjoy, be a part of them as a people, then they appreciate that, and that does enable you to more effectively reach those who have hearts receptive to the truth. And Paul was all about doing that. So serving to save is what Paul did. And then the remainder of this chapter is about running to obtain in verses 24 through 27. So Paul, here in verse 24, he says, in essence, we need to run for the prize. Run for the prize. What does he say? Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. In the city of Corinth, and it's interesting that he uses this example, in the city of Corinth, they had a race that was run every 2 years. And it was a very important thing in the city. And the person who won, there was only one winner, and it was a winner takes all. But that person was a recipient of great honor, was bestowed upon that person in various ways. Paul says, you know, and because they were people in the city of Corinth, says, don't you know, and they knew, that there's this race, and everybody runs it, but only one gets the prize? Then he says to them, he says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And it's interesting that the word you there, written to the church, spoken to his brethren, is plural. He's not talking about an individual, but he's talking about all of them collectively can obtain this prize. We are all, as God's people, running together in this race, but there's not going to be only one person that wins it. If we run this race, we will be able to win the prize or receive the prize that is promised. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul says this, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes, and then he says this, according to the rules. You can't receive the crown unless you follow the rules. If there's a course in a race and you take a shortcut, you're disqualified. It won't count. Paul says, run in such a way that you all of you, may obtain this crown. So, run for the prize, run according to the rules. That's the only way you're going to obtain the crown of eternal life. But then in verse 25, he says, run carefully. Run carefully. Notice, he says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. The word there, competes, and everyone who competes, is the Greek word, it's agonizomai, and it means, it's translated in other places as to strive. It means like to fight, to struggle. You're striving after something, even to the point where it hurts, it's painful. And agonizomai, you might notice, is where we get our English word agonize. Agonize comes from that Greek word. And so it's the idea of striving after something to the point of, you know, pain, exhaustion. You're giving your all. And this is the nature of the way that we're supposed to run. Everyone who is striving for the prize, how does he run this race? He is temperate. Temperate, he says, in all things. What does the word temperate there relate to? The word temperate has to do with the idea of self-control. You run this race, but you run this race exercising self-control. Because when you are competing and you're preparing for a race, you've got to be self-disciplined in order to get yourself in shape to run the race. How else can you run it if you're not prepared for that race? And so we have to run very carefully, exercising self-control, because the devil is an adversary, and he uses our weaknesses, our desires, to try to destroy us, our lack of self-control. And when we yield to the temptations that Satan uses, all the different sorts in this world, then he causes us to break the rules of the race. We cannot effectively run it because now we are not fit for running, because of the way we have chosen to be. And then he says, looking at the motivation for the earthly athlete, they're striving, they're running, they're training, all that they're doing is for this crown that perishes. And during those times, it was the little one made out of leaves that they would put over around their heads. He says, but ours is imperishable. This is the crown of eternal life. This is everlasting existence. God is going to clothe you in a body that will never die, never grow old, can't get sick, can't be hurt, but instead will endure forever in a place of wondrous beauty. So Paul there, he makes this point to try to help the Christians to see that what you're doing all of this for cannot even be measured. Its worth cannot be compared to anything on this earth. This is an imperishable crown. It's like Jesus expressed, you know, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, then you've lost it all. And so, agonize, strive to attain this crown as you prepare yourself, and exercise self-control as you work forward in this journey that you're on, in this race that you're running. And then Paul says in verse 26, run confidently. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. He's not running his race, not even knowing where he's going. He knows where he's going. He knows what his purpose is. He knows the rules. And he knows that he has trained himself according to those rules. Trained himself in the preparation to run that race. And so the Apostle Paul tells us that's how he runs. It's telling us and showing us we have to run this race with confidence, with certainty. You don't run the Christian race full of doubts. You have to be certain. You have to believe in God, believe in the promises of God. And you have to believe in the fact that everything you're doing is for a purpose, and all that God has spoken to you in regard to what He will bless you with one day for your faithfulness will in fact come to pass. Furthermore, we can't run this race with uncertainty, because when we think about the Christian duties that we have to fulfill, there are many of them and they are difficult to do. But the Lord has said, I will be with you always. So we don't have to be uncertain as we run this race. We have the book that guides us. We have the promise that He will be with us. And so we can have certainty and confidence along the way because of all that God has told us concerning the work and His providential care and assistance in the work that we do for Him. Then Paul talks about fighting. He brings that into the picture as he's talking about this race. He then says, thus I fight. And he says, not as one who beats the air. So back in this time, they had their races. They also had their gladiator games. And there was warfare, and there were contests, and there were, you know, man against man against beast, whatever it might be. And Paul says when he fights, he does not fight as one who beats the air. And this is like somebody swinging blindly. He misses his target. He doesn't hit it with his fist. If he's got a sword, he misses it entirely. He's just beating the air. Paul says, that's not how I fight. He says, I land my blows. He has certainty. He's hitting his mark. And he's doing that with the Lord's approval and the Lord's assistance. We have to run confidently. And then the final thing that we notice this evening is this. We have to run consistently. Verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul says, I know the life that I have to live. He knows what it's all about. He knows the race that he's running. He knows where it's leading him. But he has to live a certain way. He's already said you've got to run according to the rules. You've got to exercise self-control. And that's what he's speaking about here. I discipline my body. You see, the body is not in control. The body is the servant, supposed to be, and the mind is the master. We have a will. We have a spirit within us that God has given, trained according to God's will, knows right from wrong. And we have to let our hearts, our minds, the inner man be in control. And the inner man has to make the body be in subjection. The inner man has to cause the body to obey and not be obedient to the body's desires. Because the body tells us to do all sorts of things contrary to God's law. And if we follow the lead of the body, then we become disqualified. But if we, like Paul, bring this physical body into subjection to our wills, to our spirit, to what is right, as we're trained by God's will, then good things happen. Because if we don't, here's what Paul says, if we don't discipline our bodies, Paul is one who's going forth proclaiming the gospel, trying to lead others to Christ. If he doesn't live the life that he's telling others to live, then he says, he, though he's preaching to others, will be disqualified because he's not living as he's telling people they must live. So he understands the importance of consistency. We have to live a life consistent with what we profess to be. We say Christian. Christian means follower or disciple of Christ. But if I'm following the flesh, then I'm not truly living as a Christian. And so the one who runs in this race must run for the prize, run carefully, run confidently, and run consistently. And if we do, there is the great reward awaiting us. The blessing of eternal life and all the hopes that we have will be completely fulfilled. Beyond what we now can comprehend, beyond what we expect, the Lord is going to give one day. And that's a beautiful thought. And so Paul, in the first part of this lesson tonight, spoke about serving to save, willing to do whatever it takes to reach others with the gospel. And then, as he runs his race, he knows how he has to run it, so that he himself, as he desires to lead others to the Lord, won't lose his own crown that he's trying to attain, because he's not living the right kind of life. So a lesson that will help us in our everyday walk, to think about others and also to think about ourselves as we live in this world. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we would urge you to reflect upon your soul's state at the present moment. If you haven't been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, then you're lost. You're outside of the body. You cannot be saved in that condition. But what we can do is have faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He's the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess that faith, and then be immersed for the remission of our sins. And after our baptism, where our sins are washed away, then what we know is the continual faithful living that God requires is what enables us to remain in the good grace of God, continue to access the grace of God, which we can forfeit and we can lose if we, as Paul says, stop running according to the rules. Have you left the rules beside? Do you need to return to the Lord? Do you need to get back in the race? Whatever your need might be tonight, you know we can assist you with it. God can help you. And we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.